mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as
busy,
ever.
Busy day here, lots of stuff to get to. Adam Schefter's gonna join the show, talk about all the things going on in the NFL. Brewers win again. What do you mean, did they really? Yes, they won again.
7-2, big
they're
guy.
They're good.
We'll talk about that as the show rolls on.
Going for the sweep, a 6-0 road trip? Kind of sick.
We have Invasion of the Body Snatchers here with Chew. We'll talk about that in just a second. But before we get to that, gang, I'm going through it this morning.
What's that?
I am going through it this morning. My 7-year-old. Everybody's going through the smoke, as you can hear at the 800 number voice going this morning. My 7-year-old is going to sleepaway camp.
Oh.
She's leaving right now. I'm literally watching on the Ring doorbell as she is like.
What is sleepaway camp?
Well, let's work our way through it.
So you're 7 years old.
Yes.
You're going to sleepaway camp.
I've never heard of it.
What do you think is going to happen at sleepaway camp?
You sleep over somewhere.
Yeah. Chewy thinks it's a sleep study. Yeah, she's going to sleepaway camp.
Well, no, clearly she's participating in a clinical trial.
Correct, yes.
Jen was looking for a little extra cash.
Well, speaking of which,
out the 7-year-old.
I mean, just a quick diversion here. My wife won't buy the fact that I do not have sleep apnea. Yeah. I told you I have the test.
Yep.
Dario pulled the same thing on me, by the way. He was like, I took the test.
I took the test.
Meanwhile, he's over there going.
And it's all tied into what we're going to talk about in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so sleepaway camp, how long?
I'd rather not say, but I'm emotional. I'm having a thing.
Is this the first time she's slept away from the house?
No, she slept over at like her girlfriend's house before.
Okay,
right?
So she's had sleepovers with friends.
Is she excited?
She's so excited.
Well, then
parade. I'm not going to rain on the parade, but that doesn't mean that mom's not having, you know, a moment. I'm having a moment, guys. I'm like, you know, doing the thing where I'm like, you're going to have so much fun. Please don't go. You know, I'm not saying the backup part, right? I'm not saying the quiet part out loud, but I'm like, oh, this is going to be such a great experience. You're going to make such good memories. I would rather have you home. Thanks. You know, like and I recognize the value. I know that they're, you know, they grow, they learn. And so I don't want to take that away from her. I don't want to keep that from her just because mom is having a moment, but I'm a little bit emotional this morning.
Me and Angie are excited for my daughter to go back to sleepaway camp at Ohio State. Okay? We're counting the days.
That's one expensive sleepaway camp.
Yes. Tell me
it really
about
is.
It.
Hey, so what are the days? It's got to be like under 20.
Yeah, it's the 18th. What's today?
The 6th.
Yeah.
You got 12 days.
Yeah. Not counting.
Now, Jen said that, not Chewy. She's clearly counting.
I would think people won't admit it, but I think most people like the empty nest.
Mm-mm.
They're excited. You say that now, but wait till those girls hit 13, 14, 15. You'll be pulling your hair out.
They beat you down, do they? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yes.
I'm sure there are other parents out there who have experienced this as well. But the idea of your child going off and like you're just so out of control, right? And of course, you guys know me. That's something that is very difficult for me to navigate, being out of control of anything. And so, you know, like she's leaving this morning and then we'll see her when we see her. And I'm like, I gave her the whole speech of like, if you ever don't feel safe, if you ever don't feel comfortable, you know, you call me right away, you know? And then I told her that if somebody says, oh, no, Layla, you don't need to call your mommy. We're having a great time. That she gets up in their face and she goes, listen, buddy.
Is her sister upset?
Yes, she is also dealing with the withdrawal, a little bit of withdrawal. Yes, so you know, yesterday she had a meltdown and she was like, I just miss Layla. And I was like, how self-aware of you, 5-year-old? Like, that's pretty great that you recognize that was that's jamming you up. So you guys got any suggestions, any advice on how I make it through this next stretch?
You wouldn't have been a good parent in the 80s or 90s, would you have? the lack of control. Because I feel like there were a lot less rules. Not that I have kids, but I see, you know, again, how much, like, parents know where their kids are at all times. Not a chance my parents knew where I was at all times when I was a kid.
It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children
to the
are?
To the point where a PSA to be created.
I think we were naughtier, too. I know I was. Not naughty from the standpoint
that you
of,
know of.
That's fair.
I'm sure there are things your boys did that you are unaware of.
Yeah, I intercepted some texts that I weren't real happy about.
Well, turns out you got them back when you sent Nolan a text that he wasn't too happy about.
I think kids are, they deserve to be scarred in some way, shape, or form the way we were scarred as kids.
There's got to be a better way to phrase that.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, when I you mean, get down to dad, brass tacks.
Your
think,
dad
is there
took
a...
you to school in a mail truck, okay?
That helped create who you became.
100%. Yeah. No questions asked. Yeah. When I look back at those like core moments that really formed me as a human being, that was definitely one of them. Does anybody have good camp memories? I have one camp memory. I have several camp memories, but one of them that like stands out in my brain, and maybe I've told this one before on the radio, was a dude, a kid pulling me under a table and kissing me. So that, you know, that's forming a little bit of my nervousness. I did tell Layla, nobody can kiss you without your consent.
Camp? I don't ever remember going to camp. Just sports camps.
Yeah, I went to like sports, and I've never did, as a kid, I never did an overnight camp.
I don't think I did either.
I just kind of, did local sports camps. Every once in a while, maybe a camp that was, but again, it wasn't overnight. It might have been 2 days, but you had to drive back and forth.
No Boy Scouts, no... Nothing like that?
No, but I think camps were bigger back in our day. The kids go to camp? Sports camp.
I went to sports camp.
No, like Chase.
Hasn't gone to sports camp.
Yeah.
They still do a ton of them, but it's youth-based. Like, you see all the Packers doing it all the time.
Yeah. I feel like I see more player ones, like Marquette always has their basketball
sleepaway
camps,
right? They're like one day.
Madison's
over
was.
High school.
Yeah, Madison's. I remember sending the boys to Madison's basketball camp.
Well, that's kind of
and
cool.
That was a sleepover.
Yeah, and listen, I have great memories of like some of my sports camps too. You know, getting to know kids from all over the state, and then you know, you kind of kept in touch, pen pal type of stuff. You know, that was, you want to talk about being old.
pre text message,
the word pen pal, and it's like, wow, has your AARP card come in the mail yet? Because it is on its way. I'm the only one that went to camp, huh?
Yeah, never went to camp.
Yeah,
all right. Well,
never went to camp.
800-990-3776. If anyone else out there has some good camp memories, I am going through it this morning as my 7-year-old. I don't want to say my youngest. She's not. I don't want to say my oldest. She's not. But my 7-year-old is off to sleepaway camp. And I know that there are parents who do this all the time, who every summer they have like a couple week stretch where they send their kids away. And I'm guessing it gets easier the more that you do it. But this is my first time. So you'll have to give me a little bit of leeway if I'm, navigating some emotions this morning.
Well, I'm guessing you'll probably go through the same emotions when you send the youngest away, too.
Maybe.
Right? It's just, I think it's about, you know.
Each child?
Yeah, I think it's about each child and just kind of hitting that spot where they're growing to the point where they can go to sleep.
When will the first FaceTime take place? When you leave here?
No. I will hold strong, Chu.
Okay.
I will be strong. I will not call. It will only be if she calls. And I did tell her, like, you know, just know that if you want to come home, we will come and get you. You know, I'm not going to do the thing where we're like, no, you stay there. You suck it up. And
anyone who believes that, stand on your head. Oh, I'm sorry. I must have butt dialed you. How are you?
Oh, okay. Oops.
Yeah.
Can't believe this happened. What a crazy random happenstance.
But now, since we're on the phone together, I guess I'm not the only one going through it. Chu, you're having an existential crisis with one of your favorite things. Not the same as your child, but...
Yeah.
It's kind of like his baby now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, it used to be.
It's a great point.
At least used to be.
I got old a year ago.
That's when it was?
Yeah.
You've pinpointed it?
Wait, so do you have an exact moment when you realized this?
No, I don't remember.
Or it's just kind of slowly over the last 12 months?
I just got old. Like yesterday, had the chainsaw out helping my father-in-law cut a bunch of stuff down. I'm exhausted. And now I got to cut more, and I don't want to do it.
You have to cut grass today and you don't want to do it?
Don't want to do it. It's just old. Like, I have it. Remember I telling you about the knee?
Yeah.
The knee still hurts.
Yeah, and you're not doing anything about it.
I don't want to drive to the doctor because then they got to talk to you and all that stuff, and I don't need that. I can diagnose it myself. Like, I diagnosed someone yesterday or misdiagnosed them.
Who are we talking about? You also misdiagnosed yourself for months.
No, all I need is a cortisone shot, but they're in 2025. Don't you think they should come to you?
What?
Yes.
So they used to come to you, like, in 1925.
Yeah, they came with a little black bag, right?
They still do. You just have to be rich. Very, very rich.
They do?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, Chewy is very, very rich.
I'm talking different levels of rich and celebrity status rich.
He's got metal palm trees, Joshy. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but I think Chewy is that level rich.
Let's just say people like the Kardashians aren't going to the doctor.
Really?
Or the dentist or anything like that.
Oh, we were talking about Jason with gout.
And yeah, that's Pat what McKenzie. It was, actually, yes.
Yeah.
You diagnosed him with gout. Pat McKenzie told him it was not, in fact, gout. So you're taking that as a win.
So, but at 50, around 56, you get old. Your body does it.
I don't understand. It's a
down.
Riding mower, isn't it? It's not like you're walking the property.
Fair. Fair
yeah,
point.
Yeah, but the smoke, Jen. And the heat. And then probably the humidity.
And the we were just talking about allergies.
The smoke. You got the smoke.
Did you just give yourself allergies to try and get out of mowing the lawn?
Who am I going to? I got no one to get out of the lawn with. There's no one there to cut it except me.
But you said allergies. Do you have allergies?
Yes. No, I do. I do.
What are you allergic to?
Hard work grass. Now. Yeah, hard work.
Apparently. But again, I can't stress enough. You're going to sit your ass on the mower and you're going to tool around for a couple hours. Like, this doesn't feel like manual labor of the traditional sort.
You still get sore.
From sitting?
Levers, and you get dehydrated. And dehydration leads to soreness.
So drink more of your purple Mio this morning and call it a day.
Those vibrations on there might make a hand go numb.
You know what, though? You know what are big are those vibration plates now. You know, everybody's getting the vibration plates. You know about these
under your feet?
You stand on them. Yeah they're I've supposed to like lymphatic massage and whatnot. You just ride the mower around. It sounds like you might get the same thing.
How far are those from the old school machines where you put a band around your waist and it wiggles you?
Wasn't that the wiggle fat loose?
I believe it was some sort of weight loss. Have we gone first full circle and found a new scam?
I am telling you, man, I know a lot of people who now are purchasing those plates. You know, you see them at the gym sometimes, or you see them at some of these workout facilities, and they're portable, and you stand on them, and you're supposed to stand on them for a few minutes in the morning and get your lymphatic system going.
Huh.
Yeah, big deal.
That seems like a giant scam. Seems like a giant scam.
It reads scam.
How much are the plates?
Oh, yeah. Get your lymphatics. And, you know, the big problem with America today is we don't get our lymphatics going enough. What?
Right. Also, could Chewy simulate that by just sitting on a lawnmower?
That's what I'm trying to say.
Does he got a great lymphatic system without knowing?
I don't know if you're catching what I'm putting down, but this is the sales pitch I'm going on here, guys, okay? Sitting on your lawnmower is actually good for your lymphatic system. 800-990-3776. Lots of folks weighing in on the Carbless talk and text line talking about their camp experiences. Lynn in the Falls says, I went to Girl Scout sleepaway camp when I was 9. Core memories, first time horseback riding, first time late night skinny dipping. Okay. Thank you, Linda.
That call's coming a little early today.
We got to get to break because Jen's got to step out for a moment.
The guys are placing bets on how soon I call Layla. Because you know what I didn't say? No skinny dipping at sleepaway camp.
Is that still a thing?
Look.
I don't think I ever skinny dipped.
I don't want to explain.
Never, ever?
Never.
I've skinny dipped.
Yeah. Really?
And I don't think I want, you know, when, especially as you're coming of age, the hormones.
They do it in Europe all the time.
Well, they have nude beaches.
Yeah.
Nudity is less of a
probably
thing.
Down in Florida, too.
Because my son was in Barcelona for.
Dude, there's a lot of lakes around here. A lot of people live near them. You being one of them.
Yeah.
In your teenage years, you strip down, you jump in. It's funny. You joke around. Maybe you smooch.
Well, what's I
that's the part I was trying to explain to him, that as long as there are lakes and as long as there are teenagers
with guys,
going through some hormonal things,
listen to this.
This is what's going to happen.
With guys that go swimming in the lake, the perch will bite your nipples. For real. Okay?
Why the guys?
Well, because he's not
the girls
talking about your
aren't
nipples.
Exposed.
Oh.
So my buddy didn't believe me. He's like, that doesn't happen. And the thing drew blood. So the last thing I'm doing is going skinny dipping in there. That is, did you know that?
Do I understand that there's a potential fish might mistake some things for worms or bugs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but my apologies, honestly. Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's cold.
I was at the pool.
Sure.
I was at the pool.
We got to take a break. We're all warmed up. We're all stretched out here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Adam Schefter coming up a little bit later on the show, and we will talk about that Brewers win streak right after this.
With a dedicated Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows what success looks like. For 15 years, we've been serving businesses, organizations, and individuals in the area with a long-standing commitment to the healthcare and not-for-profit sectors. Whether it's expansion to commercial payments, Fifth Third offers a full suite of financial services and solutions to navigate your organization's complex needs. They have a great team over there, great group of people that they have put together that want to help you and your business. So experience that difference with Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues next on 94.5 ESPN.
It is a Wendorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Tony Wendorf and Associates, First Weber Real Estate Services. They believe in the human side of real estate. Faith, family, friends. They move fast, negotiate with confidence, and communicate clearly so their clients win, no matter if it's buying or selling. Get started today at wendorfteam.firstweber.com.
Brewers get another win last night, gang, and It's just incredible, honestly. Freddie Peralta goes out there, didn't have his best stuff. It wasn't his best Freddie Peralta version. But then again, the guys start to put together these innings. They start to put together these hits. And all of a sudden, whoop, 7-2, Brewers with the dub. There's a lot of stuff I want to get into this morning. A lot of really cool things that guys are doing. Vaughn with the hitting streak and Yelich among the leaders in RBI and stolen bases and all the stuff that the Brewers are doing, which is really impressive and, of course, has them with the best record in baseball. But Cameron Maybin yesterday was on Foul Territory. That's the show on the MLB Network. And he had this to say about what the Milwaukee Brewers are doing this season. Take a listen.
There's so many guys that when you look around his lineup, it's somebody every single night, right? It's not just one guy, and it's usually a team effort. And I said it off, Aaron, I'm going to say it now. The Milwaukee Brewers and Pat Murphy are going to save the game of baseball, right? When we have these gurus stressing OPS and creating holes in the swing and creating guys that aren't complete baseball players, the Brewers and Pat Murphy continue to stick to the blueprint, right? And that's the old school blueprint. Average matters. Can you move guys? Can you get guys over? Can you manufacture runs? 56 hits. Like, that's a fun team to watch if I'm a fan, right? You know something's going to happen, and they're going to find a way to win baseball games. And it's just, a lot of props to the Brewers for each and every year, no matter who's running the show, they continue to go and get ball players. And I think, again, they're going to save baseball. This is the brand of baseball we need to celebrate and promote even more.
Kind of love that. I totally agree. Pitching, defense, speed over power. That has been a recipe for the Brewers' success this season. Only the Tampa Bay Rays have stolen more bases. No team in Major League Baseball has more infield hits, which is not something that you are typically like, oh, if we could lead the league in infield hits, we're going to really have a recipe for success here. And they have the best base runners in the majors by a wide margin, that according to StatCast. Meanwhile, Freddie Peralta becomes the first National League player to reach 13 wins yesterday. Gabe, your reaction to what Maybin is saying about this brand of baseball maybe reinvigorating the league.
This is where, unfortunately, I have to give some credit to Rob Manfred. Because I think this is what he had in mind when he made some of the rule changes that they did a couple of years ago. Not just obviously with the pitch clock, but with the limiting of how many times you can throw over. The expansion of the bases, making them a little bit bigger. So it encouraged more aggressiveness on the base paths. What those rule changes did is it took one way of playing baseball, which is what we were doing. Three true outcomes: strikeout, home run, walk. That's what baseball was becoming. And it was, I mean, becoming a boring game. Some teams are still like that. And I think that's fine because the Brewers look at it and go, hey, it's really tough to find guys like Aaron Judge. And it seems like everybody wants to be Aaron Judge, but not everybody can be. Like, that's a special guy. So is there another way to play baseball? Is there another way that we can play and be competitive? And it started with Council. It's transitioned over to Murphy, certainly. And I think he's kind of ratcheted up a couple of notches as well, where they've gone, hey, we're going to find athletes. And we're going to do the best we can with those athletes. You know, somebody like Sal Frelick, who's just having a tremendous year. Hopefully he's back in the lineup today, was available off the bench yesterday. But guys like that of, hey, we're going to be really good defenders. Hopefully we can find some guys that can drive the ball out of the ballpark. But we are going to grind out at bats. We're going to be a pain in the ass for every pitcher because we're not giving up on at bats. You have to throw quality pitches in order to get us out. And then once we get on the base paths, you have to worry about us because we're going to take, and it's not just stealing bases. It's about taking that extra base, going first to third or going second to home when those opportunities present themselves and putting pressure on defenses where now they have to be perfect. It's a different brand of baseball. It's an old school style of baseball, like Cameron Maben said, but it's an exciting brand of baseball. This is a fun style. And this is what I think. And again, I hate doing this, but this is what I think Rob Manfred had in mind when these rule changes happened. Hey, now there are multiple ways teams can be successful in Major League Baseball. It's not just one blueprint.
Okay, I'll do what I do.
Are you going to turn on your microphone?
Bring it.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Bring it. It was on.
It was on. That's weird.
Bring it back to football. Is this kind of the Packers' philosophy, too, when it comes to the receiver position? Because if you look, I mean, I think Jaden Reed, when they ranked the receivers in the offseason, was the 42nd best receiver.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like what they do. They do it by committee. And the Packers do.
Yeah, but it didn't work.
Well, we don't know.
I think the Packers are pivoting from that. That's why they drafted Matthew Golden.
We will see, but I anticipate this year it's going to be the same thing where you have. When you look at a game in the receiver chart, we'll have 9, 10, 11 guys on it. It's kind of the same. Like with the Brewers, it's someone different every night,
sure.
Right? It's someone different
every
night.
Which, to be honest with you guys, the more I watch this team, the more I'm convinced that like this clip that they are operating at can continue because on any given night, somebody can be the big bat. Somebody can be the, you know, we talked about Isaac Collins, who is the reigning rookie of the month, and how he had the 3-run homer the other day. Well, until Isaac Collins hit the 3-run homer, it was crickets, but he did.
And it was crickets after.
Exactly. But like you have this idea of somebody's going to come through. That's how I feel now watching the Milwaukee Brewers. Somebody's going to come through. Somebody's going to get on base. Yeah. Somebody's going to move them around. Somebody's going to get a big knock, and all of a sudden, woo, take a sigh of relief. I want to say one more thing before we have to get to Adam Schefter, and we will continue talking about the Milwaukee Brewers this morning. But last night in the Adam McAlvey article on the win, Murph said this: I feel like we're always hanging off a cliff. Risk isn't a word we worry about. We're not trying to ever play safe. We just want to go for it. Hell yeah, brother. Hell yeah, go for it. Hell yeah, we don't worry about risk. Hell yeah, we're going to play like our hair is on fire. I think that's a big reason why this team is so easy to root for and why so many people are on the bandwagon, are excited about what this team can do. We will continue our Brewers conversation. We have to get to Adam Schefter. That's next here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Want to tell you about a new partner here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Couldn't be more excited to be partnering with Events by Design. You can boost culture with captivating corporate events and appreciation parties, brand activations, and more. That's what the creative team at Events by Design truly does. They enjoy the work they do, believing that every event should not just be successful,
this
but fun.
Is Jen, Gabe,
one people
and Chewy.
Still talk about years later. They implement fresh ideas in every detail from planning to production. For over 25 years, Events by Design has helped companies execute successful events. They helped us. They had a great thing going on. I think it was the 14th hole at the ESPN Milwaukee Open. They were playing walk-up music for everybody as they were about to hit their tee shots on that. I went to the Bucks Soiree this year. Again, an incredibly fancy event, and they were responsible for a lot of things there, and they just nail all the little details. That's, to me, what makes Events by Design. So just search online. Events by Design. They design, you party.
everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL Insider, Adam Schefter.
I would just say that right now I think all options are on the table. I think that they went through that trade thing and they talked to teams, and it's not like those talks are shut down, but they didn't go anywhere. And when they don't go anywhere, it opens up the possibility that he could be back.
Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino. Gaming, casual, and fine dining. Two golf courses, a luxury spa, and live entertainment. Your total experience is at the Island. Also brought to you by Tony Wendorf and Associates, First Weber Real Estate Services, the real estate MVPs of Wisconsin. Get started today at wendorfteam.firstweber.com.
Sounds good.
Yeah, there you go. Your microphone's on. I mean, we should probably just bring Adam Schefter into the conversation, right? This is a peek behind the curtain. Good morning, Adam Schefter, who comes to us from his dark office. It's always a little mysterious, the darkness of Adam Schefter's office, if you're watching on the YouTube stream. So, Adam, just to give you a peek behind the curtain, Joshy just sent all of us a tweet that says, McDonald's is launching an adult Happy Meal per fortune. And she goes, ooh, adult Happy Meal.
I'm excited.
Just as we were about to introduce you here on the show, do you share his enthusiasm for the adult Happy Meal?
Well, what's in an adult Happy Meal? Before I share enthusiasm, I'd like to know what's in it.
Great question.
I'm glad you asked, Adam.
Never thought you'd ask.
It is either
am I supposed to get happy just about a Happy Meal? Is that going to get the idea what's in it? Like, I mean, I have no idea what it is.
It is either a quarter pounder or 10-piece chicken nugget meal with fries, a shake, and then there is one of six collectible tins in everything. So there is some collectible prize that also comes with your meal.
I'm happy.
Adam, there's nothing better when you're in a hotel and it's about 11 o'clock. Nothing better than a cheeseburger and a chocolate shake.
Ooh. Ooh,
just
know what?
The one cheeseburger, though, Chewy? Just one? Those McDonald's cheeseburgers
No. A hotel one.
Oh.
When you're going to bed, crush that. Oh.
I thought we were talking about McDonald's still.
Well.
And wait, hold on. It tastes great going down, and then you just wake up. You're like, what did I do, right?
Yeah. It's just sitting there in your stomach overnight. Go ahead, Chew.
Where should I start?
Chewy.
Yeah.
A cheeseburger and chocolate milkshake in a hotel room late at night. That sounds like an unhappy meal to me the next day.
It's okay, it'll put you to sleep, but it's definitely going to wake you up. Not in a way you want to be woken
up
either.
That's enough of the dad jokes from you two this morning.
But by the way, it brings me back to college. It's like, how many times at 2, 3 in the morning we eat pizza, like stuff a whole pizza in your face, and like you devour the thing, and then you're like, oh, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you're in your 20s, so it's just like, I mean, you bounce back pretty quick.
Yeah. Up and get after it right away.
What is Jerry Jones doing with Micah Parsons? I saw that they're not even negotiating. What's going on there?
You know, it's funny. I just was telling somebody this morning, like, everybody wants to, what's going on with the Cowboys and Micah? And I say everything and nothing. And nothing in the sense that Jerry Jones comes out yesterday and says that since Micah issued his trade request on Friday, they haven't had any conversations. Like, that to me is amazing on so many levels. Like, you would think that if one of the best young defensive players in the game said he wanted out of town and he requested to be traded, and that happened on Friday, I mean, me, he'd be in my office that afternoon. Okay, well, let's talk about this, okay? What do we need to do? Let's figure this out. Let's communicate. Let's get this done. It's now the middle of next week, and they haven't even spoken, which tells you a little bit about the pride that's involved on both sides here, right? Like, so do I think they'll figure it out? Yeah, that'd be my logical conclusion. As I said on my podcast this week, if Cleveland could figure out a way to keep Myles Garrett as a Brown, then the Dallas Cowboys should be able to figure out a way to keep Micah Parsons as a Cowboy. Should. But it's 5 days later. They haven't spoken. The Cowboys open their season 3 weeks from tomorrow? I believe it's 3 weeks from tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Right? Is it 3 weeks from tomorrow? 4 weeks from tomorrow. 4 weeks from tomorrow.
Okay. Oof.
4 weeks from tomorrow. And as Jerry himself said, he doesn't know whether Micah will be playing in the opener.
That's crazy. Adam, real quick, where would you put him? Where would you rank him when it comes to Watt, Garrett, Crosby, Hendrickson? Who's the one in Detroit?
Aiden Hutchinson.
Hutchinson. Where would you put him on that group of players?
Well, you know, it's funny you ask that because there was something that was sent to me, if I could get it up here on the particular text chain. Let me see if I could get it while I'm answering.
Do you want us to talk amongst ourselves while you figure that out?
Here we go. No. Well, basically, you're asking where he fits. And what I would say is this, that I think Myles Garrett is probably the single best defensive player, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Although TJ Watt and Trey Hendrickson are awfully good. Micah Parsons is 4 years younger than Myles Garrett, and his defensive pressures and rush rates were higher than Myles Garrett's.
Wow.
Higher at 4 years younger. The stat I was looking for is the actual numbers on that. So, you know, Micah Parsons is one of two players in NFL history, one of two, to have at least 12 sacks in each of his first four seasons. You know who the other was?
Reggie White.
They are the only two players in NFL history to each have at least 12 sacks in their first four seasons. Wow. Reggie White and Micah Parsons.
That's
so
good company.
I'm going to guess, basically, Chewy, as a general rule, if you and Reggie White are the only two players to do something in the first 4 years, you're pretty good.
Yeah.
Which is why this is so absurd, to be perfectly honest with you, Adam. Like we all recognize how good Micah Parsons is. Jerry Jones has been around the game for an awfully long time. You would think that he would know how good Micah Parsons is. I just don't think this is the caliber of player that you should be playing chicken with.
Well, Jerry, you know, has gambled his money his whole life, and he's almost always won, and he loves the attention. And so these are all the factors that he just feeds off it. He just feels like he's the deal maker. He rolls the dice. He wins. He lives to tell about it. He talks about it. He basks in it. You know, I've said it on TV. I said it before. I'll say it again. You know, he's the P.T. Barnum of the NFL, and P.T. Barnum has kind of risen up and kind of done his own thing and become a legendary figure, and Jerry Jones has as well.
Why do you think, because Kirk Cousins is the only one who's really done the, okay, I'm not going to sign an extension, franchise tag me twice, because the third time you franchise tag, it's just, you can't, no team can actually do that, and then you become a free agent. How come nobody else has followed that blueprint? Because it worked for him. Is it just because he was a quarterback?
Dak did it and parlayed it into a deal where he became the highest paid player in NFL history.
Yeah, that's true. Is the only reason the quarterbacks do it is because, not that there's no injury risk, but because the way that they're protected, obviously it's not as risky of a position as what Micah Parsons plays.
Well, how many quarterbacks can we think of throughout time who have suffered career-ending injuries?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there has been one, but like, it's not a common thing. And quarterbacks are so valuable that you would think that more would play it out. But here's the deal. Here's the deal there. If you're a player and a team is waiving $100 million guaranteed, $150 million guaranteed, $200 million guaranteed in front of, why would you risk it to try to get to 280? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing? So, you know, it comes back to the expression, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. You know, so just go be a pig and take your You take your food, take your happy meal, and go eat it. Don't eat the one cheeseburger and shake. Don't go back for more like Chewy and double order.
Adam, I said this the other day. There's a part of me that thinks that because in 1993, Emmett Smith had that holdout that lasted two games. Jerry Jones quoted this the other day, and that year they got it resolved and they went on to win the Super Bowl. He thinks that it's not such a bad thing to have a holdout with one of your top players, with one of the best players on your team, because it might lead to the Super Bowl. Who knows?
Hey, Jerry just thinks, again, he's always going to come out on top in the end. It's just, it's what his experiences in life have shown him. He's built an empire. He owns the most valuable franchise, maybe in sports. Like, he does things his way. You may not agree with it, but he's incredible. He's had an incredible life and an incredible career. Now, again, we could look at it and rightfully say, okay, well, last year, Jerry, if you had signed Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb in February at the start of free agency, you would have saved your team roughly $9, $10, $11 million. You would have had enough to go sign Derrick Henry if you had taken care of business. So you could have had Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb and Derrick Henry, who, by the way, was in that area and interested in signing, but you couldn't afford him because you guys didn't have the money. And you didn't have the money in part because you waited on these deals and you waited till the very last moment and you paid premium prices. And Jerry Jones would say, yeah, my franchise is worth over $10 billion today. It's okay. We'll figure out a way around it.
Adam, what are we supposed to read into Shedeur Sanders starting the preseason opener for the Browns?
Well, I think he's looked good in camp. He's still down on the depth chart. But preseason games are a time to look at guys that haven't gotten as many reps, that have something to prove, that are draft. Like, this is just, it's interesting. And everybody will be tuned into the Panthers-Browns preseason game to see how he does. And everybody will be analyzing it. But it's probably the wise course of action. You're not going to play Joe Flacco in the first preseason. No reason for him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Pickett has a tight hamstring. You're not going to put him out there. Dylan Gabriel's got a tight hamstring. So Shedeur almost is the last man standing, and they signed Tyler Huntley this week. The Browns did, because they need another arm and body to get through that game. So I think it's by default as much as anything else, but it's also interesting, and it allows them to get a long, extended look at him.
Adam, it seemed to fly under the radar until George Kittle brought it up on the NFL Network yesterday.
Yeah.
But the NFL banning the use of ammonia and smelling salts before and during NFL games. What do you know about this, the reasoning behind it, and do you think more players other than Kittle are going to be upset?
Well, I'll say this, that the FDA had a ruling in 2024 where it said masks the symptoms of a concussion. So, again, the league feels like it doesn't want anything masking symptoms, and so it banned the use of smelling salts. Now, I will say this. In my life, I once did smelling salts as a little kid. I don't think I'd ever want to go near them ever again the rest of my life. I would turn to a guy like Chewy and say, okay, Chewy, tell me about this from your experience. You've been locked.
Yeah.
What do you make? Honestly, like, I know I'm the reporter here, but Chewy knows a lot more than I do about this.
I didn't like them much like you. There was a big jar of them in the training room. Brett would take them before practice.
Yeah.
Brett was like addicted to them. But how do they ban it? It's not like you can, what do you, test the blood? I mean, I go back to Adam. Brett wasn't supposed to dip on the sideline, right?
Right.
Because it was a Holmgren rule. I think it's now an NFL rule. But he did it anyways, and how are they going to, you know, hide it in your glove and, ooh, baruba, you know? Well, how like are they going to ban it?
The pine tar in his glove, right?
Lester Hayes, yeah.
And they do it, right? So, I don't know, smelling salts. By the way, you put it in the locker room. You do it in the locker room before the game.
Yeah.
There's no TV cameras, right?
Yeah.
So, well, but Kittle was saying okay, he was doing it before every drive.
Yeah.
But what does it do? Like, it just it
just
like,
wires you. It's like a
jolts you, right?
Yeah, it's like a 2 or 3 second. I didn't like it. I'm like you, Adam. I'm like, ugh.
Well, hold on. Like, it says ammonia is a key ingredient. Is that what it is? Like, when you sniff ammonia on accident, you're like, oh,
yes,
man. Yes,
exactly. Same thing. Yes. But some guys are addicted to it.
I can't. I mean, that's amazing to me because, again, I was a little kid. My mother did it to me as a joke. You know, she's like, you got to smell this. You won't believe it. And, mm-hmm. I fell over backwards. Like, holy moly. Yeah. Yeah. I never forgot it, right? I'm scarred for life. And I think my brain's deranged from that one. While they're giving me smelling salts.
Your mom a little bit of a troublemaker? Yeah. Is she a little mischievous?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
What's happening?
Oh,
yeah.
There
it is. Oh, yeah. Adam, I threw this out there to the guys. I don't necessarily believe it, but it is an interesting theory. What if the league is like, we'll give you your smelling salts back for that 18th game. Spits on hand,
oh,
shakes.
Come on, Jen.
The league is going to have to take something away, Jen, that the guys want. If they want the smelling salts, they're going to try
it. Jen, I saw pictures of your new closet, okay? It's a nice closet. Well, hold on. It was a very nice closet, right? It looks like your house is pretty nice. I'll write you a check today for your house for $20. Okay, will you do that?
Are you saying it's not a fair trade? Is that what you're trying to tell me here, Adam?
Jen, I'll give you $20 for your house, and the players can trade smelling salts for an 18th game. Okay?
I mean, I'm not saying it's the only thing. I'm saying it'd be part of the package. All right, fine. You're telling me it's ridiculous. I appreciate it.
Nice
I appreciate
closet,
it.
Jen. Nice closet, Jen.
Thank you.
Nice
Closets closet. By Design out of Mequon really helped me set me up. You know, I got a lot of clothes. I've been doing television for a long time. Adam, you are just the best. We really appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.
Have a good week, everybody.
So that's a no deal, in case you guys weren't sure. I'm not.
Yeah, I think that was pretty clear.
Trading my house.
It is interesting, though. So to the point of the smelling salts, the memo says that teams are prohibited from providing or supplying ammonia in any form. So I don't think that would prevent, if George Kittle wanted, couldn't he just buy his own and bring him in?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that's a
loophole. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, yeah. I think he could bring his own in. I just don't think the team can supply that.
I think if you're using them on the sidelines, you will get fined. I think that's probably
where
they
see you.
Yes, correct.
That's why Chewy's saying he's going to cut a little slit in his glove. He's going to slide it underneath the...
I mean, it's...
Well, your nose, you react. Your body, you, yeah.
It'd be pretty easy to hide, though. Yeah, I mean, they're just like that big.
What if
you
like tuck it under like your
you
shoulder
snap
pad?
It. No, you know? What you do is you have one of your minions on the sideline that you duke a little money to and say, hey, put five of these in your pocket and then just slip them over. Because they got film of Brett dipping on the sideline talking to Andy Reid.
Yeah, they've only added cameras to every single stadium at this point. Like, you're getting caught, though, if you start trying to do it on the sideline, I think. Unless you're, I mean, maybe you got it like a little spot somewhere.
You either
just
like
going
it.
To the blue tent.
Isn't it crazy how guys love it though? It's just like, I mean, you smelled it.
I don't know. I've never done a smelling
salt.
We'll
do it.
So.
As to say,
all right.
Should we do it on air?
They're easy to procure. I also think the look of it is a big thing. The way you are putting something to your nose, inhaling deeply, reacting, and it's like a popular. Like I know people who have smelling salts that aren't athletes, and they do it before they go to the bar.
All right, let's go.
We gotta get ready.
Let's go. Weird. Here we go. Let's go. Come on.
I mean, the fact that you know these people, Josh, you might want to
let me tell you, that's the positive things about some of the people.
Reevaluate those friendships. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on right after this.
Our conversations each and every week with Adam Schefter, brought to you by the Island Resort and Casino. It's a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. I'm heading up there next week. Cannot wait. Hang out there, play some golf. Visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's a lot of sodas now that are prebiotic sodas.
They
as
don't
well.
Work. They're called poop. They're really called poop, I think. You buy them on Amazon.
I thought you were going to stop talking.
You got a lot of brust in you. You know that?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Tony Windorf and Associates. Just like the moves made in the pros, Tony Windorf and Associates, First Weber Real Estate Services, helps people make their own big moves every day. Trusted knowledge, superior service. They're the real estate MVPs of Wisconsin. And if you're looking to buy or sell a house, make the move and get in touch with Tony Windorf and Associates.
I guess we are closing the book on Deep Thought, the boat that ran ashore at Bradford Beach. Yesterday, the auction officially went official. And the winning bid for the online auction for the junked craft was...
$3,000.
$2,525, which the, I guess, city of Milwaukee has said was much, much lower.
County. It was the county.
County, thank you.
It was the county.
Was hoping, than they were hoping for, which was $20,000. So they came up, you know, just $17,000 short. How else did they think this was going to end?
I don't know. If the plan was, yeah, we'll remove it, then we'll auction it off and then recoup our costs from removing it, like... That was not thought out very
By
well.
By the way, guys, it wasn't that it cost $20,000 to remove the boat. It cost $50,000 to remove the boat. They got a $20,000 donation mm-hmm. from an anonymous group, and they got $10,000 from the Hone Group. And so they were just on the hook for $20,000 and thought that they could, you know, get it back in this auction. Apparently, they thought that it was people were much more interested in it than they actually were.
I mean, I was interested in it, but what the hell are you going to do with it?
It doesn't float.
It's a dilapidated boat. Like, what do we do? I mean, what can you do with it?
The people who actually purchased the boat in the auction, guys, All City Towing.
People
the group that
it.
Towed the boat out of the lake. They said they've grown quite fond of it.
Really?
Yeah, so they're going to, I think they're going to try to, like, you know, hack it up into pieces and maybe auction it off, you know, some of the parts and whatnot. But
what is it? The Berlin Wall?
Yeah, basically. I mean, or like when the Packers after your 49ers game just boxed up some of the turf and sold it for $5 a pop. I'd buy a piece of if I could get a piece for $5-$10, I think I'd buy a piece of
what, the old turf?
No. Well, no, the boat.
You would?
Yeah.
Conversation piece?
Yeah,
type of
five,
thing?
$5-$10.
What is
Give
that
me a
over
piece.
There on your shelf? Oh, that's a part of Deep Thought.
Did we just discover a missed money earning potential for the city? Instead of them just auctioning it in whole, could they have done this chop it up and sell it piece by piece to recoup more of the money?
The problem is you would incur more costs.
Yes.
I'm not saying it would have been
right.
Astronomical.
It does take investment to get more out of it, but don't you think people would like a framed piece to, like, put somewhere in their house? Conversation piece?
Can you imagine going to Jeff Sports?
City Towing is hoping for.
Going to Jeff Sports with a piece of the boat? Hey, bud, I really want to.
Jeff, I got the railing.
What can we do with this?
Well, if you have a 5-inch by 5-inch square with a little bit of the
graffiti
on
it,
it
would look cool.
I think we've stumbled onto something. I hope our friends over at All City Towing are listening as we sit here and strategize their way to actually making some money off this thing. Because I think you're right, guys. There are people who would like a piece of it because it is sort of this.
Right. What am I going to do with a whole ass boat that doesn't float?
Right.
Nothing. Nothing you can do with
but
it, Josh.
But I can make a couple bookends out of I fashion them into a cool shape and I make some bookends for my bookshelf. That might be something. And again, a conversation piece. Oh, you remember the summer of 2024 when the boat ran ashore? No, I don't. Well, let me tell you about it. All right.
And everybody argued about whose fault it was, who needed to remove it. So the owners just ran away.
Oh, well, that's what they said. They tried to recoup some of the costs from the owners, but they said that at the end of the day, they didn't have any money. So that was like, we would have spent more in legal fees trying to get them to, you know, pay for their discarded, deserted property. And they said they just realized it wasn't worth it.
Yeah, turn it into a man cave.
Like turn
cut it inside out, put a bar in there, a couple TVs.
Oh, but you need
the. Do you think this boat is?
Yeah, you need to first of all have the amount of property where you can put that, and then have the amount of money where you can just gut the boat and turn it into something.
Yeah,
gets expensive fast.
It does.
Yeah. I think we should put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors poll. If we hacked up Deep Thought, would you buy a little square?
Yeah.
5-inch by 5-inch with a little graffiti on it? Stick it up on your mantle? Stick it up on your bookshelf?
I'm good.
Oh, man. The stuff that you guys buy.
I didn't even know what Deep Thoughts. I thought it was Jack Christie or whatever
Handy.
His name is. Jack what?
Handy.
Jack Handy? That's a bad
boy.
Name. Andy Jack. What? Gosh, it's a little funny.
Any moment now. You can just send us off to break.